Okay, we're continuing in Exodus. It's good to be with you again. If you have a Bible, you might want to open it up to Exodus 16, because in the bulletin there is only the first 30 verses. We weren't able to put the entire thing in there, but I will be referring to sort of the end of the chapter as well. So if you have a Bible, you might want to open it up to Exodus 16, and I am not going to read the whole thing because it's a long passage. And I will read parts of it as we go through this, as we work our way through it little by little in the next little while as we work on this. I want to encourage you, or thank you for your prayers, continue for Josephine and I as we continue to look towards a new church plant and continue to work and pray on that as well. So I'll give you a little update. I think the Lord has sort of hit Josephine and I the long nature of this project, and it's not like we're going to snap our fingers and all of a sudden there's a new church there, and people say, well, when are you leaving, when are you moving? And it's just, we're coming to the realization this is a long thing. I think about Bob and Karen moving here, and it's been 17 years to get us to here. It's just not going to, we're just going to take slow, being faithful, pray for our faithfulness over the day after day. What? Yes, we'll see. Nobody here in this church would ever grumble, would they? Nobody here finds yourself just complaining about your life, do you? And nobody in Monty Gar would ever say, well, my life's not going right, or I don't have any money, or why am I not married, or why am I married? Nobody would ever say anything like that, would they? I'm sure this church, this is a group of people who trust God fully, right? And we always say that, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All the time, right? All right, well, reality is, I'm being a little sarcastic here, and I know that we've all heard grumbling and complaining from our family and friends here, and I think if we're honest, we've heard grumbling coming out of our own mouths here and there as we speak and as we interact with each other. As we look at our passage today, we're going to see that our spiritual forefathers were a complaining, whining, grumbling bunch of people as well. They're just like us. People who had seen God's power, God's work, and then just a little while later forgot what God had done. And so out of their mouths comes words of whining and complaining. We're in a series of messages through this book of Exodus, which was written by Moses many, 3,000 years ago, I think it is. And this book starts with God's people in slavery, being oppressed, as Barry said. And God is a guide of those who are oppressed. And he saw their cries for help, and he rescued them. They were under great oppression. Even their babies were being killed. Those of you who are mothers and fathers, can you imagine your little boy being killed? And as we heard last few weeks, God raised up Moses to be to lead the people out of slavery. And the power of God was on display in the plagues before all the Egyptian leader and before all the people. And finally, the Egyptian king had had enough when his own son and all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed. And he says, get out, get out. And then last week, as Bob preached to us, that the Pharaoh changed his mind and the army is on the way, coming. And again, God led his people with a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. And he led his people through the Red Sea and destroyed his enemies before them. And now we get here to the 16th chapter of Exodus. And all this excitement of these first 16 chapters is over. They've escaped from Egypt, and the fear you can imagine they had. I'm sure they saw the Egyptians coming down at them, and here they are, a bunch of slaves. And how are they going to fight? And they see God's power as they walk across dry land, across the Red Sea. And I'm sure they're kind of like ready to just flop down in front of the TV with a bucket of fried chicken from KFC and just relax for a little while. It's got to be, they just had so much going on. And now, here they look around, and what do they see? They are in the desert with lots and lots and lots of people. And so look what happens here in verse 2. In the desert, it reads, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in back there in Egypt. There we sat around with pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out here into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. And as we read this, it's sometimes easy for me, I don't know about you, but it's easy to be critical of these people. They're about 1 month removed from slavery. I mean, serious slavery, bondage. And what happens? They want to go back. Let's go back. They can't remember the whips and the torture and the working hard. Don't they see God's goodness? Don't they see that God has just rescued them? What's wrong with these people? And as I thought about that this week, I think we need to give the Israelite people a break at this point. They were in trouble. Their problems were real problems. I'm a dad, and I want to feed my wife and my kids. And if that's an important thing for me. And if I was out in the desert with no food or the little bit of food I had, you know, dwindling down, with thousands of other people, and there's nothing to eat, I can imagine, okay, Joes, let's stretch that little bit of bread out a little bit longer, and I can imagine waking up in the night, how in the world am I going to get some food to feed my kids, to feed my wife, to take care of myself? What are we going to do here? The problems that people faced here were real problems. It was life or death. It wasn't, oh, I need a Gucci handbag, you know, my life is so horrible. No. Of course, there are times when we complain and whine, and because we don't have our Gucci handbag, and we just need to be spiritually slapped up and sort of said, get your act together. But that's not what's happening here. There are other times when life is really bad. Life is hard. There's death. There is disease. There is sickness. There's financial hardships. We don't have enough money or we lose our jobs. But God has worked in the past. We know that in our head. And we see these big issues before us. And it's difficult. It is hard. We don't have to pretend that life is rosy and wonderful and God's going to work it out. But knowing the difficulty of the situation is not an excuse for the people's sin. The people complain to Moses and Aaron. They're leaders. But it's clear that they're not really complaining about their leaders. They're going back and complaining about God and the way that he has treated them. Look here at the verse 8 at the end. And Moses is talking to his people and letting them know that God will provide. He says, God, he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we? This is Moses talking. You're not grumbling against us. You are grumbling against the Lord. Moses and Aaron heard the cries of the people, and they knew that the cries of the people were not cries against them, the leaders. They were just following what God had told them to do. The leaders knew that the complaints were really against the leading of God. When we complain to our spouse or to our kids or our boss or our members of this church, be careful. Because oftentimes it's not just we're complaining about them or complaints the person that we are speaking to. So often our complaints are sort of to them, but they're really an end run around to God Almighty, that he has not provided enough. He has not led us or led me in a way that is good. See, God knows our hearts. He knows our frustrations with our life, our questions, our fears, our doubts during hard times. Look here at verse 11. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat. and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Tell them you will know that I am the Lord your God. The Lord says, I know what's going on. There is nothing hidden from me, Moses. And what is so surprising to me is that even with the Lord's knowledge of how bad his people have complained, God still shows the people's grace by providing for their needs. In the evening, they're going to get meat. And in the morning, they're going to get filled with bread. Not a bad deal. If you've been living out in the desert for a month with little scraps that you brought from Egypt, it's not the great faith of the people that moved God to act. God wasn't sitting in heaven looking down on the situation and thinking, wow, these guys have so much faith in me, and I guess I'll have to bless them because they've been looking at me. Here's some meat and some bread. Is that what's going on here? Is that what God is doing when he looks down on his people? No. We see that the Lord knows his people, whom he has rescued from slavery, have forgotten all about him in a few weeks. He knows that instead of looking to him with faith and saying, wow, our God rescued us out of slavery. Our God redeemed us. We've seen your mighty work in the past. So even though we're in a tight spot here, even though we don't know how it's going to work out, we know you will make a way out of no way. But instead of that, the people grumble, the people complain when their food is winding down, running short. And despite the fact that the people do not show faith, God acts with mercy and provides for their needs. Look here, starting in verse 13. That evening, quail came and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelis saw it, they said to each other, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer, that's a weight, for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. God provided the flock of birds to come and land in their camp. It's like chickens falling out of the sky. And they had chicken stew, chicken curry that night. Everybody went to bed with full bellies, and they were very, very happy. And in the morning, they wake up, and they're ready to have some chai, and they're ready to, wow, there's some funny-looking bread out here. What in the world is this? They're not sure. In fact, manna, the word we call this, is Hebrew for what is it? They don't even know what to call it. It's so different. God is kind. God is merciful. That is what grace is. The compassion of God shown to those who do not deserve it. Grace is not a reward we get for trusting God. Faith is not like our spiritual money that we sort of use to get blessings from God. Unfortunately, that is what so many people think of when they think of faith, both Christians and people from other faiths as well. The thinking is something like this. If you have enough faith in God, and it, you know, it doesn't really matter who, what religion or background we're talking about here, you just show your faith by doing something for God or praying a lot or giving the money to church or whatever, and you do this good work of faith, and then in response, your business or you'll get some more money or you'll get a new spouse or you'll get a new child or you'll get something, whatever you want, will come to you. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Romans 5:8, but the God declares his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, while we were enemies of God, When we were shaking our fist at God, when we were complaining about not having food, Christ died for us. God showed His love for His people. God makes the first action. He is the one who reaches down to us to bless, not because we're so good, but because we're so much in need. God's agenda is to bring His righteousness to all the nations, and this will not be stopped, not even by the sins of God's own people. God's work of mercy and justice and righteousness is advancing in this dark world, and nothing will stand against it. What we do see here is God's blessing on the people comes with some boundaries. And the purpose for these boundaries is greater, I think, than we even can understand. Read with me here, in starting in verse 19. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." It, that's the bread, the manna. "However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Each morning, everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, 2 omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, 'This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, boil what you want to boil, save whatever is left, and keep it until the morning.' So they saved it until the morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. 'Eat it today,' Moses said, 'because the day is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any.' Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day and to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'How long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day He gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out.' So the people rested on the seventh day." See, some of the people thought, well, you know, I'll just have a lion on Tuesday morning. And so today, you know, Monday, I'll just go get twice as much of this sort of bread stuff that's on the ground. There's plenty of it out here. Man, what's the big deal? God wants me to plan ahead, right? And so the next morning, they look at their bowl of manna, their bread stuff, and it looks like our food waste container after 5 or 6 days. I don't know about you guys, but we have, like, our borough collects food, and so we have a little tin thing that we collect food, and my job in our family is to empty it out every day and put it outside into the bin. Unfortunately, I'm lazy, and so if it's not all the way full, it sort of stays there for a few days. And then when I finally fill it up and I look at it, ooh, we don't get worms in our mouth. But at that point, it's looking pretty slimy and stinky. You can imagine. But this is what happens to the man, the guy, who says, "I don't really worry about what God said. I'll just sort of do my own thing." The gift of God comes with a purpose, though. They come with guidelines for us. They come to teach us that our lives are to love God and to love our others around us. And these two conditions that God gave for gathering the bread: only gather for your family each day, or it's going to rot. And then on Saturday, or the day before the Sabbath, you gather enough for 2 days, so you don't have to work on the Lord's Day. And how do these rules, why does it matter that God gave them these rules? Every day, they are reminded that God is providing for their daily bread, for their daily needs. They have to get up and go out and gather a little bit. They can't worry about tomorrow's needs, even if they wanted to. It's going to rot. No, the Israelites had to trust God for today. today's worries. Remember Jesus in the Lord's Prayer. It says, pray for your daily bread. Not your weekly bread, not your monthly bread, not what's going to happen a year from now. Did you eat today? You will if you haven't in a little while. Good. Be thankful for that. Don't worry what's going to happen a year from now. One little guideline that God gave Israelites and is helpful for us today, be thankful for what He's done today. But God, there's a second here, that guideline that God gave. He wants people to rest. And He says, work on the day before the Lord's Day, and then you can rest on the Sabbath. This instruction helps people to order their life, to have a day to focus in their worship and to rest, to set aside your normal work for Him, your normal routines. You got 6 days to do that. And then your seventh day, let's rest and let's worship. It's a guideline that helps the protection of the poor and as they relate to others as well. Think about this. Who is collecting this manna? Get up there and do it in each household. It's probably the daughter-in-law or the servant girl or the poor neighbor who wants a little bit of money or something. I don't know. But they need time off. They don't need to be working 7 days a week all the time, taking this manna and molding it into bread and boiling it and baking it and whatever it does to feed a household. No, God has made these guidelines to help the community love and care for everybody in the community. God wants us in our lifestyles to honor Him and to honor those that we live with, that we come in contact with, our neighbors and those around us. At the very end here, it says that God provided bread from heaven for 40 years. While His people wandered in the desert before entering the promised land. Now that's a good blessing if you're wandering in the desert. But that's not an eternal blessing. Verse 35, which you don't have here, but it tells us that the manna did come to an end. Just like many of the other miracles we see in the Bible. The people got healed, but they got sick again and they died. Jesus fed the 5,000, but the next day they were hungry again. The manna comes every day, but at some point it is over. And it points to something greater. Jesus is the true bread from heaven. He is the one that we should look to because He is the one who can satisfy all of our needs. Of course we need real bread. God does often provide for our needs. But most of us have enough to eat day in and day out. God does provide that. We're not facing starvation like the people in Somalia are right now. In a little while, we're going to have our dinner here. Our bellies will be full. That is a blessing from God. But it's only a small blessing. It's only a very small, small fraction of what God has for us. We will all get hungry again. But in Jesus, we get a blessing that will not wear out, that will not fade away. Jesus, the true bread from heaven, offers us an eternal blessing from heaven. He comes to us first, offering Himself to us, not just some food or money or a car or whatever. He offers Himself. Those other things, they won't last. If we've responded by faith, we get Jesus. We get united with Him. But because He chose to bless us, a people who continue to grumble against their Creator. This is why Jesus had to come. Not because we deserve God's blessing. We actually deserve His wrath. We deserve judgment because out of our hearts, out of our mouths, becomes grumbling from our Creator God. But God has made a way for those who don't deserve the breath of heaven to receive His blessing. Jesus, come down to take the wrath of God for you and for me if we're united with Jesus by faith. Jesus calls on you today. Come to Him. Come to Him, and you will never be spiritually hungry.